studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2012 and all the fun goes with it.
Do you feel a year older?
I feel older every day.
Oh, sorry. Bad subject, huh?
Yeah. In fact, Cliff, what I'm going to ask you to do is go ahead and give intros. I'm going to log off here because I'm hearing myself. And one of these days, Blog Talk Radio and Skype are going to get along. So I will be right back.
Okay.
So if you want to Again.
Okay, we've got a lot of things to talk about today. It's a kind of an interesting show because this is actually a holiday, and probably we wouldn't be coming to you on a holiday. We'd be taking the holiday off ourselves. But it is a Monday, and we weren't here last week, and so it's time for us to come back. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call and get in on the subject and we'll, you know, whatever subject we happen to end up on, and we're going to cover several of them today because there's a lot of things to talk about. We've got 40,000 new laws that went into effect, what, yesterday? This is the second, I think. So the 40,000 new laws or whatever it is supposedly went into effect yesterday. Just what we need, 40,000. I keep on and on, I keep saying we've got to have a rule of thumb here where, well, my suggestion is that every 5 years, all laws expire. Every 5 years, they expire. Now, if we want to continue them, we can go ahead and put them back on the ballot and vote for them again or whatever. But we've got to get some of this crap off the books because there's so much junk on there that it's just insane, totally insane as to what's going on. It's amazing. It's absolutely stupid. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on now. It says the Blog Talk Radio is there, though. But anyhow, the new laws are just, we'll talk about those. There's so many things that we've got to talk about today as far as what's going on. We have elections tomorrow. That's in Iowa. We need to get some sort of information on about those because, Oh, there it is over here. Okay. They take these polls. You know, you've got all these polls that are being taken constantly. And in this particular instance, everybody's on top. I mean, everybody's equal. Romney, Ron Paul, and is it Perry? No, it's Santorum. Romney, Ron Paul, and Santorum are equally on top as number one. Now, you know, what that means, who knows? Because I suppose if you want to get right down to it, the people that are, is that you?
That should be me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Yes. Hi.
Okay. One thing, and people, and I'm going to ask other Blog Talk Radio hosts to do the same thing is, now, I know that Blog Talk Radio is working on doing something about getting a better quality, but here's the thing. What goes on behind the scenes here, folks, is that Cliff and I, we usually do about an hour to an hour and a half show prep, and we're using Skype during that period because right now Cliff is in the remote – well, actually, we're both in remote studios at the moment, and we don't have any problems whatsoever. The only time we wind up with any type of audio issues is as soon as we connect to Blog Talk Radio through Skype. And then everything just goes haywire. So, and it's really makes it very difficult on us, especially because we do have a list of guests that we'd like to have. We've had previously, a couple weeks ago, we had Lynn Sloan from KGO Radio. She's a producer there, and she said that she could probably get some of the other hosts on the program, but we are very hesitant to schedule them because thankfully, Lynn was very patient with us because when we did the show with her, we spent literally about the whole first hour, Cliff, trying to get a decent connection.
Well, actually, we spent 2 days. She came back the second day and did it.
Right, that's what I mean. She was very understanding and very patient. Fortunately, it worked a lot better on the second day. But when you don't have a reliable connection, it's very embarrassing to schedule guests. And so, you know, I wish people would kind of put some more pressure on Blog Talk Radio to work on getting their audio issues fixed.
Well, we're going to be working a different type of system to possible, too, because it is very difficult to try to find something to rely on. And we're not, it was at this point, you can't. We can't. It's just hit and miss, which is kind of sad. But, hey, right now in the holidays, it's not much we can do about anything. I don't think anybody's working too hard on anything.
Well, that's true. But anyway, because I had to log off here to come back on, I'm on the caller line right now, so I apologize if the audio's a little bit tinny. Anyways, happy New Year.
Phone a little bit because you're not too tinny. You're too busy.
I'm too busy?
Too basey.
Basey.
Yeah.
Too basey.
Yeah.
Just call me Count.
Count Basie. Oh, God. This is what I have to put up with, folks, over and over and over.
That's right. Anyways, welcome to 2012. Welcome to Oregon Update. And just welcome, welcome, welcome. And you can – did you give out phone numbers?
I did give out the phone numbers. We can do it again. But basically, that's the only thing you want to do is the phone number, 646-721-9887. You can email us. You can do all kinds of other things. But the thing I'd like you to do is call us because I want to hear your dulcet tones, your little voice penetrating through the darkness and informing us as to what's happening. And then you can yell at me if you want to, all you want. You can probably yell at Robin, too. Be nice to her, a little bit, anyway. Don't have to be real nice, but, you know. Oh, well.
And one of the things that I said on the promotion that we're going to try and do, I'm going to try and get Twitter logged into, is we have four guests in the chat room right now, and unfortunately, they can't participate in the chat room. Well, we've got five now. So what I'm going to try and do is we haven't done it before because you know, Cliff and I are kind of old and don't really get into the social network much, but I'm going to try and get logged in here and try and do some of this stuff back and forth on Twitter as well. So hopefully I can remember my password.
You know, I still think, you know, to heck with Twitter, to heck with Facebook, call us on the phone. That's the thing to do. I mean, that's just simply the thing to do. It's easy and we can actually talk to you. And well, of course, that is the case if you don't have an unlimited phone call system. Most people are using cell phones nowadays and have a certain period of time that they can call to us, and it doesn't cost anything. So that would be the easiest way to go. But it would be the nicest way to understand things. But if
absolutely.
That's
go ahead.
I was just going to say, if that's not the case, we do have the Facebook page, and they can leave us up on there, or just leave us an email. And we'll talk about your subject at that time. But I'm sure that most people can come up with a few minutes on a phone call and yell at us that way, because there's got to be a lot of times that there's things that we're talking about that you don't agree with. I don't know what they could possibly be, because I'm always right about everything. So consequently, you know, it'd be easy to just agree with us and have it over with.
There you go. But in the meantime, what we got on the show today, and we're going to take a quick commercial break here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about the consumers win another victory. We'll cover that a little bit. 2012 introduced a bunch of new laws, about 40,000 of them. We got a few samples about that and a little bit about the elections and some other stuff going on and just some crazy stuff, including a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment. But first, this program is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. You always got to get that in there, and because that way they give us our $1.20 for the ad. We are very cheap. Which...
that was me dog barking.
That was him. They stopped. By the way, they stopped giving us samples because you keep eating them all.
That's why I'm doing such a good bark.
That's right. Anyways.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with dancing dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out, dancingdogcookies.com. They'd love to hear from you. They're individually made in all different types of shapes and sizes and fun stuff. So check them out. And the other computer there goes, just ain't working.
Individually made. I can just see, you know, somebody standing there making one cookie at a time, one cookie at a time. But that's actually the way they do it, too.
That's actually the way they do it.
Homemade,
which is kind of cool. Okay, I got the Twitter page up and running, so check us out there at twitter.com/KRBN Radio. And if you want to talk to us that way, give that a try and see if that will help. And let's start out with what the heck segment. Let's what the heck and get that out of the way. Huh?
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, we're into the year 2011, and kind of interesting thing. And also, like we kind of promoted, the power of the consumer. Yes, we won another victory. First was Bank of America that decided it wanted to charge us a $5 a month fee if we used our debit cards for any reason at all. This time, it was Verizon that felt the power of the consumer. In fact, they changed their mind literally one day after they announced a $2 fee, convenience fee, for making payments on their website or on your cell phone. That fee would have taken effect January 15th. Verizon decided to drop the idea after the online petition, change.org, drew nearly 50,000 signers against the new surcharge, which also, by the way, caught the eye of the FCC for scrutiny over the plan. Now, as they have been talking about on the talk shows about this, keep an eye on your bill. I just checked mine this morning because I have Verizon. Verizon also charges an 83-cent administrative charge, which, by the way, is going up to 99 cents, which I don't recall them having. I don't know how long the administration charge has been on there, but, you know, again, check it. They also charge other fees for paying your bill. Like, for example, they have some convenience locations if you go in and pay your bill in person. One example, and this is from the Verizon's website, that if you go into an authorized convenient location, they will charge you a fee for each account being paid. For example, if you have three accounts and you are paying with one check, you will be charged three times the fee. In other words, one for each account. Currently, the convenience fee for some locations is up to $1. So it's just other ways to try and get more money out of you. And Verizon, of course, which is one of the more expensive carriers out there, I think, they're kind of more reliable than some of the others based on my experience as a driver, truck driver. But they are more expensive, and they also recently cut off their unlimited data fees and made it into tiers to try and get more money out of you.
You say they're more reliable, except that they really aren't because they keep changing the rules.
Well, as far as the rules, I'm talking about reliable as far as coverage goes.
I understand that, but when they, you know, I'll live with a little less reliability, perhaps, if I could know, at least know what I'm going to be charged tomorrow.
Well, that's true. You make a good point. But as far as areas that I've been into, you know, being a truck driver, you know, where I still have service, Verizon's been pretty, pretty reliable because of the network over that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It depends on where you are and what you're doing, because I don't have Verizon. I have AT&T, and I've been extremely pleased with them. There's only been one place, and that's up in the upper mid, north mid Washington state, up around OMAC. And they have fewer towers there. I'm not saying they don't have any service, but there are places up there where service does run out. Everywhere else, I've been able to always stay in contact. But yeah, they all have their own little things. Some are have more benefits than others, and I think they're all about equal when you get down to it. I do find out that it's kind of sad that the FCC or whoever it was didn't allow AT&T to take over T-Mobile, because that would have made a difference in how many towers they have. That's what they want, is the towers and the coverage area, I think, more than anything. But they'll find it another way, one way or another.
Absolutely. I'm still playing with Twitter. They logged in my personal account. Oops. Anyways, other things that have changed. The 2012 was supposed to also be the beginning of the light bulb ban that we've been talking about on the program for the last year. Basically, the 2007 Obama administration, as part of the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, that would take effect on January 1st, 2012, would make it illegal for retailers to sell the incandescent light bulb that's over 100 watts or 100 watts and higher, with the remaining bulbs to be phased out in the future. The agreement was tucked inside a 1,200-page spending bill that funds the government through the rest of the fiscal year. So they were trying to get you to go to the Curula Q lamps with the mercury in it that requires special special disposal, or go to the more expensive LEDs, which they do work well, but the color temperature is a little bit different. So,
well, now they've got that are different color temperatures as well, so you can have the correct one you want. But I'm not sure that the price differential is acceptable, because LEDs are considerably more expensive, even when you consider how long they last and everything else. They are still more expensive, and I don't think they need to be, because you go buying individual little LEDs, and they're almost free. I mean, you can buy an LED, one single little LED, for like 50 cents, but if you put 10 of them in a light bulb, they all of a sudden become, you know, $10. So I don't know how or why. So, you know, they're putting a price tag on them that has nothing to do with manufacturing costs or materials costs. They're putting it on there based on something else, and we need to change that, at least make them
And what they're doing is the fact that, I mean, it's energy conservation and that type of stuff, but, you know, the incandescent light bulb has some of its advantages, and a lot of these other light bulbs don't like to work with light dimmers and such. But even still, don't tell me what type of light bulb I can have in my house.
Well, that goes along with one of the problems that we have going on in the world right now, and that's the bigger government thing. The simple fact is, I'm sorry, we do have a big problem, because our government, as it sits, believes that the bigger the government, the better off we are, and I disagree with that. But Obama, that's his one. I don't want to say it's his main goal in life, but it's one of his main goals in life, and that's having a say-so, the government having a say-so over every little itty-bitty point in your life, and that's just one of them that he's going to try to put in there. There are very few things that he does that I think are acceptable, and this is one of the worst ones. The more control the federal government has, the happier he is.
Exactly, and that's the thing about where government control is going, and that's why it's kind of interesting that, you know, this last year, toward 2011, is that people are discovering that we do have some power. Bank of America, Verizon, and who knows where it'll go from there.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's going to start happening, and actually did happen last year more than, I guess, any other year, and that's recalls. You've talked about it before. What can we do to change who is in office, and what can we do to, you know, individually make things better or different or change. And last year was one of the highest years for recalls in history. There were 150 elected officials that faced recall votes in 17 different states in 2011. And there's going to be even more, it looks like, in 2012, because we're already getting off to a huge start. So, you know, the idea that there's nothing that we can do, actually, there is something that we can do, and that's the recall. And people are realizing that more about it. And again,
Before we get too much into it, I got one more thing for the What the Heck segment, and
okay.
Then we'll touch on that, okay? And that is cupcakes.
I'm ready.
Cupcakes. Did you know that a cupcake can actually be a security risk?
Well, somebody said it was. I'm not sure that I would consider it a risk or not. But
Well, according to the TSA, apparently they figured that this one cupcake was a security risk, as it, he said that the topping looked too gel-like, and therefore it could hold some type of explosive or be, in either way, is it gel-like enough to violate regulations? And this is in the Las Vegas International Airport, where the TSA confiscated her therefore mentioned cupcake.
Well, you understand, the reason that they noticed the cupcake in the first place is because she had the cupcake in a glass container with a metal top that was screwed onto it. And that's what set off the alarms in the first place, was the metal top on the cupcake.
Yeah, but it has a pretty bow.
That's what?
Well, it has a pretty little bow type of thing. I'm looking at a picture of it now. It has a little string tied around it, you know, making it all nice and pretty, and it's marked red velvet, you know.
Yeah, but I could make a pretty bomb that had a bow tie on around it too, and that would still be a bomb. So I can understand why the difference is you know, if they were really concerned about it, have her eat it. You know, if it was a bomb, she wouldn't eat it. You know,
there you go. I could just see that. You know, TSA agent suspects a security risk and forces passenger to eat bombs.
Well, you know, and I suppose if you were really that worried about it, maybe you should eat it if it was a bomb, but I wouldn't. But, you know, the point is we're getting way carried away with all kinds of things. But I can understand. I hate to tell you this. I can understand them confiscating the cupcake because of the metal lid. But, you know, and I don't know, if I was a TSA agent and I found a glass jar with a metal lid on it and a cupcake in it, I don't think I would take a chance of opening it and finding out if it was a bomb. Because if it was a bomb, it'd be too late. So I would probably confiscate it and blow it up somewhere myself. So I'm sorry, but I'm on the case. I'm on the side more or less of the TSA in this particular instance. You've got to have some common sense that you don't take, even if you know it's a cupcake, you don't take it in something with metal container.
Exactly, it's my favorite cupcake. But I could just see the headlines, though, if they actually made them eat it, you know. Customer explodes in international airport.
It would be kind of sad all the way around, but you know, we've got to, as regular citizens and as human beings and as thinking beings, we've got to have some responsibility ourselves. And so for you to take a cupcake in a glass container with a metal lid, you could always find a glass container with a plastic lid of some sort and put it in that. You don't have to put a metal lid on it. So it wouldn't have been caught in the first place if you'd had it on it with a plastic lid. You know, it may be a very, very innocuous little cupcake, and it may be just a cupcake. But, hello, how are they supposed to know?
That's true. So anyways, that's kind of what's going on. So give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And right now we're trying Twitter. Go ahead and send me a tweet tweet me, please. Send me a tweet. Let me know that things working, because this is kind of a new experiment for us, as you can tell, as I'm trying to waddle my way through it. And
going back to the cup,
give us a call, 646-721-9887. We have lots to talk about today, and we'd like to have you part of the program. Even if you have a new topic that we don't have on the list, you know, give us a call. If nothing else, give us a call and say hi.
I was going to go back to the cupcake for just a second, because one of the things that I did see that was a problem, this lady said that she had flown from Boston to Las Vegas with two cupcakes on a previous flight and had no problems. My concern is, and the consideration is, we need more consistency with the TSA. If they're going to catch it in one place, they should catch it in all the places. We can't have this business of, you know, one person saying it's okay, another person saying it's not. We need to have more consistency as to what's going on. Less, perhaps, diligence in some instances, but more consistency in every instance, because it can't be good and can't be okay in one place and not in another. If it's got to be the same all the way.
Well, maybe it, in the TSA guidelines, it didn't specifically cover cupcakes. And if so, did they break it down to what flavor?
Well, I don't know. Chocolate cupcakes have got to be okay, but strawberry cupcakes can maybe a problem.
Yeah, that's highly suspicious. You know, I mean, you know, vanilla, chocolate, yeah, that's fine. But strawberry, I don't know. You know.
Lemon are out of the question. Lemon cupcakes are just absolutely yellow is just really too suspicious.
In
anyway.
More ways I won't go into.
Oh, dear. This is one of those days, folks. I've been rummy all day today, so forgive me if this gets a little carried away. But there are a lot of things to talk about, like you were saying. Not just cupcakes. We were talking about big government and the problem with big government. And we do have major problems with big government and all the federal regulations that are going on, and our president believing that the more control they have over your life, the better off. I don't know how he can figure that you're better off if somebody else is controlling your life every instance and every minute of the way. It's got to be a problem, but whatever. We're up against I was talking about at one point, recalls, the fact that we can recall people, and all it takes is getting a petition down and getting a bunch of signatures on a petition, and the higher the office. If it's a state office, if it's a local office, it's only a certain amount of names on the petition. And if it's state office, there's more names. If it's a federal office, there's even more names. The larger area that it covers, the more names you have to have on the petition. But it's still doable and possible, and we're having more and more people actually setting about doing it. The business with being able to get in touch with people and being able to communicate people with the internet is how this has all of a sudden become a possibility. You can talk to people and work on things with the internet, and you can also organize with Facebook or Twitter or any of these. You can organize groups of people who can then physically go out and collect the signatures and physically do these things and be a lot more helpful. And so it is a lot easier to put large groups of people together than it used to be, all because of the internet. So things have changed, and this is not just in the United States. This is worldwide. As you know, we've had whole wars and whole countries change regimes because of the internet, more than anything else, because of the internet. They can stay in touch, and different countries have tried to turn the internet off, and you can't do that, folks. It's something you can't really do, because they have things like Wi-Fi and different things like that. You can do that no matter what, and to try to cut a whole country off from the internet is almost virtually impossible at this particular point. At least it's going to be extremely difficult, and if they're fighting a war at the same time, can you divert that much attention from the war to just simply cutting the internet off? And if you don't cut the internet off, you can't cut the war off. So, you know, it's this at this particular point, individual groups of people are becoming more empowered and have the ability to change things, and they are changing them all over the world as well as in our country. So right now, the recalls are a big thing. But one I wanted to point out is the biggest recall that's going to happen is the election coming up this fall. There's an election coming up that's going to recall a bunch of people, and it could recall the president, could recall most of the Senate and most of the House, because we're going to be reelecting or electing, not reelecting, or maybe reelecting, a whole lot of people. So you need to go online again. Information is disseminated online, and you can get every kind of information you want. You've got to be the one who sits down and decides what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe. But any way you look at it, you've got to act on whatever you see and whatever you find out and however you believe and vote one way or another. I don't care how you vote, but you need to get out there and vote. And I do believe that we have a nation of people who are smart enough to sit through and sift through all of the stuff, crap, whatever you want to call it, and come up with a logical a solution to what's going on and make a logical vote when it comes down time to actually vote. One of those times is going to be tomorrow. They're having the Iowa caucus tomorrow. Now, that's sort of a vote and sort of not a vote. You'll get a chance to at least see what's going on and find out what's going on. And if you go to krbnradio.com, by the way, krbnradio.com, I have a thing on there that will that you can click on this. It says Iowa caucus, and that tells you what a caucus is about, how it works and why, and what's going on in Iowa. There's a bunch of things over there you can click on to find out more information about the elections that are coming up. There will be on January 7th another debate, and there's just a huge amount of information you can find out about on krbnradio.com. So go over there and you can click on any of those things and find out more information. There's information about worldwide elections and as well. And so, you know, if you get a chance, well, and how can you not get a chance? It's easy to do. Just simply click. You go over there and look and find out all this information and do a little bit of reading. And I've tried to find out the most important stuff and stick it over there so that you can find it real easy. So krbnradio.com, and you can get all kinds of information over there. Anyway, that's the thing that's coming up is the election. And the first one is tomorrow. Are you still there? Okay.
I'm still here. I'm still here. You never know with these connections whether or not I'm here or if I went bye-bye. But no, I totally agree with Cliff. And as more and more recalls are coming down the line, it's also sending a message to our I'm trying to be polite to those guys, but it sends a message to our elected officials that the era of saying anything you want to be elected and then, thinking that there's nothing we can do about it, that that's changing.
Some time ago I came up with the idea that if you get caught literally lying, that you should be barred from being able to run for that election and for any other election for the rest of your life. Because that seems to be the idea, is that once you've decided to put your fingers in for the election, is that that gives you the opportunity to say anything you want, to lie if you want to, and then nobody's, it's politics. You can lie if you're in politics. That's wrong. That's the one place that we should be even more discerning, is we should not be allowed.
Well, the truth about it, the truth in advertising laws, you'd think would take effect.
Well, yeah, one would hope, but it doesn't.
Hold them to the fire,
Yeah, yeah. We seem to be just ignoring it, though. We let them say any old thing they want to say, and I that's, in my opinion, totally wrong. So, I don't know.
Well, I got one plea that I want to put out there, because we talked about this a couple weeks back, I believe, and kind of talk talk shows, major talk shows, is the idea of, if you don't like who's running for the Republican Party, please don't reelect Obama because you don't like the opposition.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't really honestly think we have too much of a concern about reelecting Obama. There's just too much and that's going wrong. And even if we do reelect, if we were to possibly reelect Obama, I don't believe for even a second that we're going to put Democratic Party back in the House or the Senate. Those are going to change, and they might change over to totally being Republican. But I think any way you look at it, if even if Obama were reelected, and I don't think it's going to happen, but even if he were, his powers are going to be considerably limited because these people are not going to sit back and just let him do everything he wants to do like they're doing right now, I would hope.
Yeah. Well, Boehner's giving him a hard time, too. But anyways, we're coming up pretty close on top of the hour. 646-721-9887. Join us in the chat room. Unfortunately, people that are guests in the chat room cannot participate. But what we are trying today is we have the Twitter page open, which is Caribbean Radio on Twitter. And if you have a Twitter account, you can try and communicate with us that way. If, like, say, if you don't have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, by the way. Or better yet, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Coming up, we still got 40,000 new laws that went into effect. You want to get to that, or you got something else?
No, go ahead. We can just as easily go there next as anywhere.
Okay. I got a small list of some of the new laws that went into effect here. As I'm plopping through my screens. And some of them are just kind of like, what are you guys thinking of? But, of course, I'm just
kidding. Here they're talking about shark fins. I can understand that's bad to kill sharks just for the fins and it's not necessary, and I agree that they shouldn't be, but I don't know that that's the biggest thing. Although at this particular point, who knows if there are many sharks left? I mean, we could be getting low on. You know, there are less than 3,000 tigers in the world. I mean, I know that has nothing to do with the laws, but
how do you know that? I mean, when you get right down to it, how do you really know that? It's like,
because they have people out there that count them.
Yeah.
Tigers live in certain places, and they can count how many of them there are left, and they they've tried.
How do you know you haven't counted the same one twice?
Well, you know that when you're talking about that, it could be 3,002, it could be 32,000. Or 3,200, rather. You can't get it down that tight. But the possibility that there's 3,000 to 5,000 tigers left in the world is just very, very sad, because I wouldn't want to see tigers just disappear. I'm sorry.
Yes.
There.
Okay, I got a few items for you now.
Okay.
There's one. This one just came out. Price of Powerball tickets doubling to $2. Boy, I tell you, everything's going up.
Well, you want to know
this one is in Illinois. Huh?
Something that's been worse than that. If you live in Washington, they have now put a toll to cross the bridge. It used to be free, and it's been free for years and years and years, and now all of a sudden it's like $5. You can buy a pass and get it down to as low as $2. But, you know, going from nothing to $3 or $4 or $5 to cross this bridge, and that's where an awful lot of people used to get to work, is just really scary.
Oh, I agree, especially in this recession that the government still refuses to acknowledge. Anyways, here's this law here. It comes out of the Illinois, which takes effect on, well, yesterday, which requires, it's called Andrea's Law, and people convicted of first-degree murder must be added to the new first-degree murder database.
Okay.
You would think that would already be a first-degree murder database. You wouldn't need a law to add somebody to it.
Well, you know, the thing is, is it open to the public? I mean, I don't understand this database. If it's a website that they're going to put online to tell you where, you know, who's a first-degree murderer. I hope they're going to give as to where they are and where they live and all that kind of stuff. But that could cost some real money as to putting it together. And I don't really feel that knowing who and where first-degree murderers are is of enough importance to spend that kind of money. We don't have money right now. We're bankrupt. And we should be considering ourselves bankrupt anyway. And I'm very much against spending money like that. That's just not necessary.
Well, they say it'd be similar to the sex offender registry. Some other stuff that's going on, and a lot of the fun stuff, of course, is in California. They have the California gay bullying law. Of course, they don't say if that requires you. Yeah, California gay bullying law, bullying, B-U-L-L-Y-I-N-G. It doesn't say that whether you're new to bully a gay, or actually technically they're saying that combats bullying. And but that's just one of the laws they have here. They have the California handgun open carry law gets changed.
See, it's real sad because we're making laws that don't need to be made. We should, as human beings, we should know better. We should know, have some sort of understanding of how to act, and we don't seem to do that anymore. We just do anything we want to do, and then they make a law for it or against it or whatever. These are not less 40,000 laws. That's insane.
Well, yeah, and I don't remember. This is going by my feeble memory back in college when I actually did in my speech class about stupid laws. There's actually a law. I can't remember where it was, probably New Mexico or someplace like that, that it's illegal for UFOs to land within the state.
Well,
now, passing a law is not going to change anything. And people that have concealed carry permits, most of them do not cause any problems. In fact, I'd rather see more people with a concealed carry than not, because these people that want to ban guns altogether, if you're a bad guy and you know by law that you are not, that this person's not armed, then they make it for an easy target. I mean, just like I say, being a truck driver, it is illegal for us to carry any weapons. And yet we're out there in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm sorry, but making a law against something doesn't mean it's going to happen or not happen, because they can make a law saying that it's illegal to carry a gun if they want to, but if you're carrying it under your jacket or in your pants or something like that, they're not going to know, and if they don't know, then they can't do anything about it. And I'm sorry, that's just, people are going to do whatever they want to do, and you can pass laws until hell freezes over and it's not going to make any difference. So that's one of the reasons I think these 40,000 laws are ridiculous.
Well, and to get along, like you said, is that if there's a law that is going to interfere with my safety, I don't care. I'll pay the fine.
Yeah. Well,
with the cutbacks in police and other protections, you're pretty much left on your own.
That's true. That leads me to another thing, and we'll get to. That's the fact that I do have my new website up at cliff.org, and we're talking about on that website, talking about self-defense. And the world isn't like it used to be. You don't have the confidence that you're being taken care of, because, they've cut down how many sheriffs, how many policemen, how many of everybody, to the point that there's almost nobody out there to look out for you. You've got to do it for yourself. And so you might want to go to that website, cliff.org, and take a look at what's available, because there's a lot of things that are available. And nowadays, they call them spy cameras, but, a clock, just a regular clock sitting in your house that's capable of taking pictures of what's going on. And it used to cost you a couple $1,000s or something like that. And believe it or not, it's now $200 to $300 for the same thing. And all of a sudden becomes practical to have something like that in your home. So cliff.org. It's easy to remember, easy to find, CLIF.org. Just thought I'd mention that.
I have a little promo there. Another new law that went into effect, this one was already in force in 2011, is the California male circumcision law.
They didn't have that already?
It says can no longer ban infant male circumcisions, so that law went into effect immediately, and it's emphasized on my list immediately.
Hmm. Well, the one that bothers the most, of course, of all these laws is the one for talking about voter fraud. They're saying that in some states now that you have to have a identification in order to sign up to vote, or in order to vote you have to show your identification. And there are people that are upset about that. I find no problem with that myself, because you have to have identification for almost absolutely everything. Usually it's your driver's license that can be that identification, but there needs to be some sort of identification. We've had to have identification to cash a check. We've had to have identification for everything for years and years and years. One of the most important things that we do is vote. And why shouldn't we have to have identification to do that? In my opinion, that's not a no-brainer at all. That's just something that should be required in every state, and yet people are upset about that.
Everybody has to. Well, if you're going to have a job, you have to have identification. They're saying that for minorities and older people that it would make it difficult. But like you're saying, it's so easy to go down to your DMV and get an ID card or something.
Well, and it might be more difficult for minorities, or in this particular case, illegal immigrants to vote, and in which case I'm glad, because we shouldn't be having illegal immigrants voting. And I know we are having that happen in so many cases. Plus the fact, without any identification or without any kind of thing, you can go in and vote as many times as you want to. If you get caught, you're in trouble. But how many people are doing it and don't get caught? I mean, you know, we just seem to think that voting is something you should be allowed to do no matter how illegal you are. We need to change that just a little bit, I think. And I think a voter identification doesn't have to be special identification. It can be any kind of identification proving who you are. That's a possibility. I mean, I find nothing wrong.
Yeah, like in Oregon, and talk show host Lars Larson won a bet with a congressman. I think it was DeFazio. I can't remember exactly. They said that Larson was pointing out that in Oregon, illegal immigrants can vote. And they're, you know, of course, they're like, no, they can't. Well, yeah, with the motor voter law, when you go in to get your driver's license, they go, would you also like to register to vote? And, of course, I was like, yeah, sure, okay. And so there, now they're registered and they can vote, even though they're illegally in the country.
Yeah, yeah. We do have a phone call if you'd like to call. Check that in.
Oh, absolutely. Sleepy Salsa, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Quietly on
Sleepy
air.
Sleepy Salsa.
Hmm.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and leave the line open there. It's, let's see.
Doesn't seem to hang up.
Can't type while I'm doing this. Anyway.
Anyway, back to the different laws and things, and the fact that we need to have some sort of a thing set up so that we know that they are legal citizens that are voting. I think that's important that we do that myself. Make sure that we know that we have legal people voting when they do vote, and it's about time we do that.
Absolutely. By the way, area code 952, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Happy New Year to you guys from me and everybody over here on Speculation Sports and Cowport Radio. My sister used to live in Gresham, Oregon for many, many years.
Well, good.
She used to live out there. I live here in the great state of Minnesota. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, but I just got home there. I noticed you guys are on, but I don't know what the big deal is about. If you got to show your damn ID, we got to know who the hell you are, regardless of illegal or legal, because regardless of what side you're on, either you're liberal or you're conservative or you're, you know, whatever, or whatever, a lib, conserve, middle, and what's the big deal? The problem, people love to cheat when it comes to voting, and it's like it's a lot of power to get in the White House, whatever it may be. So I don't know. After a while, it's like, I don't know. You got to know who the hell you are. So it isn't a big deal. You can go down and get your picture taken, and you have an ID. So if you do get pulled up by a police officer, whoever you are, then who the hell you are. So, but people love to cheat when it comes. It's not a big deal. Just show your ID. It's not that tough. Who in the hell are you?
You have to have ID for almost everything. You have to have ID to cash a check. You have to have ID for so many different things. So you probably already have some sort of legal ID. I can't imagine much of anybody who doesn't have legal ID at this particular time. So why would it be a problem?
I think, people listen to too many Art Bell shows and conspiracy theories out there that you're being watched by the big fella all the time. I personally don't care. I'm not an imbecile. I don't break the law. I'm not a convicted felon. So it's not a big deal. But there's just people. It's for some reason, you guys, it's always about conspiracy. They're trying to, you know, Uncle Sam and this and that. And it's just, you know, just show the ID. When you walk up, who the hell they are, they check your name off and you go vote. I mean, it's just beyond approach the way America. The problem is, you guys, we're so far left and so far right in this country. The middle America that I think I'm in is screaming as loud as we can in the middle and cannot be heard. So it's always all the new laws are you know, like I said, you guys, you hold up your hand and you look at your hand. That's the law. And you open your fingers and there's a loophole. There's always all these laws. They could never just sign a law on the law for just the law. You know, you open up your hand and there's loopholes. Your hand's a law. You open up and there's one, two, three, four, five big business that pays that law. And they come to you and they say, hey, look what we did for you guys out in Oregon. Great, but then there's loopholes for all the big business to get around that law. And you think the guy did a good job. And then plus the law gets through. And how many laws they get through? They look at Barack Obama, like the guy or not. He signed the law in their day. He was pissed because all the pork was on there. And that's why you need a line item veto. I don't care who it is. I mean, I do Bill Clinton's voice, man. You remember back when I was in office, man, I told you guys I want a line item veto. They took it away from me. Yahoo, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to tell you guys something right now. I did not have sexual relations with Mr. Lewinsky. So, you know, Bill wanted I do his voice on Blog Talk Radio. Anyways, Yahoo, man. But, you know, it just I don't know. We the people, you know, they always thought the Occupy movement, you guys. I say you want to occupy something, you go up to the Hill and you occupy the Senate's chambers because you all know, okay, Barack Obama the 44th, Bill Clinton, Yahoo, man, I had two. You know, Carter had one, Reagan had two, Junior had two, Senior had one, blah, blah, blah. There's no reason Kennedy should be dying in office, okay? Anybody else, you get two bites at the apple and that's it. You get 1 year of your insurance, just like anybody else's, you're out down the road, okay? It gets old. When it's 6666, no, it's 4-4, just like Barack, like they are not. If he gets in, so be it, America. This isn't Libya where we're going to kill our president or anybody else, okay? This isn't Venezuela or whatever. This is America. He gets two bites of the apple, so be it. He moves on. And Sarah the Queer Palin will come back in probably 2016, her white horse, go, here I am, I can see Russia from my house. You know, and Sarah the Queer Palin will come rolling in there, and, you know, and my wife, Bill Hill, will be there too. Yahoo, man. You know, who else knows? But, you know, by 2016, we'll see what happens. Who gets back in the office? But any senator should only get two bites of the apple. They get too comfortable in there, and we can vote them in. You can vote. You want to occupy something? Occupy this, bitch. You occupy up on the big, big hill, and you demand. You don't demand. You ask, and you vote them in. You can vote them out. You have the power with your filthy little hand. You walk in there, and you push the right button. Agree or disagree?
So we need to take it back. Come up and...
it's a very simple equation. I mean, we the people, USA stands for us, me and you. I don't care if my mom was a Democrat, my father was Republican. They always got down to the issues about the family, and they got stuff done. It's not that tough to get together and agree, disagree on certain things and compromise, and that's the problem. The Tea Party has ruined the Republican Party, and the progressive movement, whatever, has ruined the Democrat Party. We've forgotten how to get along and communicate. And that gets old after a while. Like a good marriage, if you stop communicating, what happens? You get a divorce. And there was a good guy here in town, Jason Lewis, said, and it's some, and it wasn't Hitler, but it was somebody from the 40s, one of the big leaders, said, America will not be brought down by a power. They'll be brought down by each other, meaning we're gonna eat each other alive here in America as we fight amongst ourselves, and we become the stepson to, you know, to Russia, even China, and all of them. I mean, I don't know about you guys. You guys like being the stepson to China? You know the answer to that question. This is America, the great, great, so allegedly great Satan. They all hate us. They all want to come here and get educated. So I've always said you want to come to this country and be a productive citizen. Why welcome you? We have enough cesspools here as is and convicted felons. I've always said I like dead offenders, not reoffenders. So, you know, you want to come to our country, you want to work hard and create jobs, I welcome you. But we have enough cesspools of people to sit around and collect money off the government. So I guess I'm independent. I'll listen to anybody.
And when you come in, you know, come in through the front door.
Exactly. Absolutely. Like anybody else. And my father came across with my grandfather as a baby and over in New York, and he created a lot of jobs, and did a lot of things, and created a lot of things for everybody. And I've been able to live off that and everybody else in the family. But it's all about doing the right thing in this country. It's not a black, white, Hispanic, or gay issue. It's just the issue of American citizens. We have Amy Koch here in town. Republican, allegedly, family values, lying on her back and spreading her legs and having sex with somebody she works with. And then she's all about family values, but she's sleeping around. And also the Republican Party now is $2 million in debt, so much for the conservative values and the family values, and we're $2 million in debt here. And it's called hypocrisy at the biggest here in the great state of Minnesota. Republican Party has got a lot of egg on their face. I'm frankly embarrassed for the great state of Minnesota, the way the Republican Party has acted, and they won't. I don't really care if you're gay or not. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, I'm not going to judge people who you make love to when you go up there. But if you're going to bitch about the family values, maybe don't spread your legs and lie on your back. And if you want to be conservative, watch where you spend my money and your money when it comes down to the basic stuff. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Basically, my thoughts are the simple fact that we need to go to the polls. We need to do some. and get the change it to if we want a change. You're talking about the great middle class, the great middle group of people that just that seem to get drowned out by the extremes. It's mostly because we sit on our dead butts and do nothing. We've got to get our butts in gear and get out and make our positions known, and we can only do that by voting, and we can start on the vote. Well, it's not a vote tomorrow, but New Hampshire perhaps is the first one we actually get a vote for. But that's what we've got to do. This is the year.
Well, the far right has hijacked the Republican Party, and the far loonies and the far left have hijacked both, and it's just kind of, and the middle class brought you the weekends, okay? They brought you the great weekends, the Saturday morning picnics and Sunday morning picnics, and Joe, the great middle class has been destroyed as we speak right now, and it's about, you know, I'm not a union guy, my old man was, but it's all about hard work, and if hard work is easy, everybody would do it. That's what my dad always told me, so, and it's a problem. People don't want to work hard work anymore. You have to work with less. It sucks right now. I have three jobs, and I'm working my ass off. Live well with him, I mean. And like I said, 2012, everyone makes choices. It's all about choices, not mistakes. You make a choice, you'll be held accountable for those choices. My dad was always, choose wisely. You know, you can't choose your family, you can choose your friend, choose wisely. So you made the right choice at the polls. Good things happen. It's not a mistake, it's a choice. It's like I say, drinking and driving. You made the choice to drink, don't make the choice to drive. So anything else, when you vote for somebody, you make the choice, choose wisely, what's ready for down the road. When you make your choice now in 2012, how is it going to respond in 2006? No difference. Financial, pay yourself first, as my dad always told me. So, I mean, it's a very simple equation. Two people want to be treated with respect, and people don't anymore. It's all about what's in it for me instead of what's in it for our country. United States of America. We are one. We are the power. We're the strong people in the world. We will always survive. We're always going to be around. But right now, it makes you nervous. This country is going down a toilet slowly but surely. But surely, with that big piece of poop being flushed down the toilet, and we're not what we used to be. We need to get back to the top again. You know, get people back to work and back in houses immediately,
well,
if not sooner.
Let me ask you this, Colin.
My name is Jeff. Copple Radio. Copple Radio. My name is Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. One thing that I've been preaching about is as we've experienced, getting back to the elections real quick, is that, you know, they say and do anything to get themselves elected, and once they're elected, then they do anything they want to. And I'm
right.
Thinking that we should add more of a check and balance, like borrow a little bit off Parliament, where it's easier to, especially if we have a rogue president in the, or rogue anybody up there in the 21st century, because things happen so fast, like a vote of no confidence or something similar to
right.
What's your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with it. You got to be checks and balances. I get reviewed every year at my job. I don't know about you. I got reviewed last week. It was a pretty good review, but the point is I was making mistakes. Absolutely. You should be able to, you know, you're not doing the job, see you later. Wouldn't want to be your spent condom. Guess what? You're done. That's why the 666 stuff. No, you get every 2 years, you get looked at. You're not good. You recall. You go and you vote, and you get it done. Get them out. Absolutely. They're not doing the job. You promise this. You promise that. Let's put America first. I understand big business, but let's put our I say you look out for our children, who's our future. You look out for the animals and the elderly who were before us. So absolutely, checks and balances. You're not doing your job. See you later. I guarantee it, sir, if you weren't doing your job, you worked for me. I pull in the office, guess what? You're fired, sir. Here's your final check. And those guys, we should be able to walk in and say, guess what? We're going to have a vote you out, find somebody else till we finally put America first and not their own pockets. I'm sick and tired of the line in their pockets. It's a very simple equation, you know. We put you in, we'll put you out, and you work for us, you know, and make it a basic accommodation. When you're done, that's it.
I'm so tired of hearing that, we need to get along with the other side of the aisle, or I don't have time to read the bill, or we need to vote the bill to find out what's in it. It's like, what do we send these guys to D.C. for?
Right. Well, just have the bill be the bill. Whatever it is, the problem is, sir, they add on things all the time. They add on pork. Here's the bill. Vote on it right here, live on the air. Okay, yes or no? We're going to give blah blah True News 5 here the truth and voting about something. That's the bill. Yes or no? Hands up. The problem is when you're in the cycle. Well, he voted against that. What was in the bill? He probably didn't know about it. This is the bill. Vote on what the bill was brought to the floor. None of adding on this. I'll scratch yours. No. Yes or no for the bill? That's all they got to do, sir, is you put up what it's going to be. If it's going to be something about animals, that's what's don't put something. You remember we had the floods out there in the Midwest, and something going on out there in L.A., and remember they burned down their own town? The lady wouldn't vote for it for the natural disaster and said, unless we gave her money for people to burn down their own town. So it'd be like burning down my house today right now because I'm pissed off because my Cowboys didn't make it. And then all of a sudden, I want my house rebuilt because I burned it down. It's just a problem. There's too much pork, too much oink, oink, oink. Blind pig finds the acorn, and that's the problem in the government.
Well, the other thing I see right here on the chat room, we've got someone here that says that the truth is that we're just sitting on our dead butts in the middle class is disappearing in front of our eyes.
Yep.
Well, the simple fact is it wouldn't disappear if we'd actually get off our butt and actually do something, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to do it by voting and by showing our opinion and our ideas. But the idea that the middle class is disappearing right in front of our eyes is our own fault. So we've got to get up and do something instead of just sitting here accepting it.
I agree. It's our country, and we own this country, and we're getting it run over by a bunch of thugs and a bunch of idiots out there, and we piss them on. But meanwhile, our country's gone right down the toilet. And that's just it breaks my heart. I'm 50 years old here in August this year, and I would have, if my dad was still alive, we buried him with tan-vested Richard Nixon on, and he loved his country. He was a Union man for many years, and he died in his front yard. And right now, if he was alive right now, he'd be shaking his head. He'd be frankly embarrassed of the Republican Party. He would be embarrassed. So, you guys, I don't want to take up your show. I probably ruined it already. But my name is Jeff from Couple Radio / Speculation Sports. You guys have a prosperous 2012 and hopefully 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And as we move forward, we'll be more prosperous. We'll be on number one in the United States of America. You guys, God bless. Thank you real out there. I'll keep it lights on here in Oregon for you guys. Out here in Minnesota, excuse me. So, you guys, God bless. And we'll talk and hear you guys all later. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, and good to hear from you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to
hear what he has to say. I still say again, it's up to us. It's up to all of us in the middle class, because that's what I was saying. The group in the middle sits back, and we don't say anything because we're basically pretty satisfied with what's going on, and maybe that's the problem. We shouldn't be that satisfied with what's going on. We should be paying attention to what's going on and making a difference by making a phone call or if nothing else, this is the year. This is the year. We've got to get our butts in gear and change what's happening by voting our conscience and voting our opinions.
Absolutely. Good call, Jeff. Thank you. 646-721-9887 if you want to join the program. Sleepy Salsa, thank you for holding.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Very good. What have you got to say?
Well, actually, there was a few things, time permitting and whatnot. The first of which was, obviously, I posted in the chat room a blog posting by the economiccollapseblog.com entitled 30 Statistics That Show That the Middle Class is Dying Right in Front of Our Eyes as we enter 2012, and just to kind of handpick some of those. For instance, according to Career Builder, only 23% of American companies plan to hire more employees in 2012. Also, the total value of household real estate in the United States has declined from $22.7 trillion in 2006 to $16.2 trillion today. Most of that wealth has been lost by the middle class.
Before you move on with that, do you think that was a real figure? Do you think that the property values were really that high? I think that was quite artificial, don't you?
Oh, quite possibly. I mean, there was a lot of shenanigans by various high finance interests. I wouldn't be surprised if you were right about that, sir. And just one other one is that since Barack Obama took office, the number of Americans on food stamps has increased by 14.3 million.
Yeah.
And so people can just go look at the Economic Collapse blog, the one about the middle class is dying right in front of our eyes as we enter 2012, for much more data that was there. But the reason I kind of brought that up, as well as, kind of listening to you guys earlier, is that you're mentioning about voting. And, I got to say, I kind of figure your guys' heart is in the right place. But here's the problem. Pretty much anybody who understands anything about voting, especially consider that America technically works under a single-member plurality type system with a hegemonic two-party structure, as opposed to something like the various South American countries that have proportional representation and typically, but not always, but typically have a multi-party structure, is that in America, if you vote, if you happen to vote for the guy, and it doesn't matter what type of election it is, congressional, senator, presidential, doesn't matter. Generally speaking, if you vote for the guy who doesn't get in, your vote is wasted, as opposed to something like proportional representation, where there is a much greater probability, in fact, almost all the time, in fact, that your vote is just reallocated towards something else, usually in terms of preference ordering. So really, I mean, if anyone wants to, kind of look at voting as a solution to their problems, I would kind of hesitate to say, hey, look at exactly how they really count the votes. I mean, in fact, if I remember correctly, I think it was either Lenin or Stalin, was one of the two, that basically said it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. And anybody that remembers the horrible debacle in Florida back in 2000 between Bush and Gore can really attest to that. And, you know, the Supreme Court decided who was going to be president. And, you know, we can kind of notice everything before then and since then. You know, look, if you give people a choice between two false binary options, you basically give them a false dichotomy without any real choices, then of course they're not going to want to go vote, obviously. You know, it kind of goes without saying, you know, it's between there's always the notion about the lesser of two evils. But what's not really commonly said is that the lesser of two evils is still evil. You know, people were surprised, for instance, when the Texas state legislature actually bowed to the federal government when they threatened an air embargo over here in Texas if the Texas state legislature didn't basically allow TSA to maul women and children and everybody else at the airports. So what I'm getting at here is that if people want to actually solve things by voting, I got to say, either you should either vote locally or probably reconsider it as a method and try something else, such as, oh, I don't know, organizing people locally to basically go off and do whatever you need to do to, that needs to get done. But as far as voting goes, voting as a method for solving political problems really doesn't work for the most part. And the evidence, generally speaking, proves that. I even posted another video that kind of tackled a different aspect about problems with voting, regardless of your political orientation, as a method towards solving complex social problems.
Well, I don't think at this particular point that we are quite to the point that we can go out and try something different, you know, that really accomplishes anything. We need to sit back and, I still feel, generally evaluate the people that are, you say, the lesser of all the evils. We've got six people up there, I guess, that are left still in the running, maybe more. We need to sit back and look at them and get more information. And we've had a good year this year with a lot of different televised debates, or they call them debates. But we have, I think, learned a lot of information about the people that are running, and enough to make up our opinion as to who we can put in there that will actually do what we think, or you think, or I think, should be the best way to go about it. But you got to do something major, and I don't think stepping away from voting and just going locally and trying to put together an organization is going to do the answer. It's too small a group.
Well, fair enough. That is a legitimate concern. You know, there was also former CIA officer Robert Steele who claimed, and he has further sources on this, that there are at least 20 different secessionist movements in North America right now. And that was actually several years ago, so there's probably more right now, but there's at least 20 even back then. And so that's one option to consider, obviously. And don't get me wrong, you know, it's kind of funny. I remember when Rick Perry, Texas governor, really got up there about, oh, we're going to assert our 10th Amendment. First of all, he's a big joke, okay? He's a Bilderberg attendee. He totally ran over the Texas state legislature when he was basically trying to put through the Trans-Texas Corridor, which fortunately other people were able to stop, which was kind of a preliminary step towards integrating Mexico, the United States, and Canada into basically kind of a North American version of the European Union. But a small step of that was the Trans-Texas Corridor, which was going to go right through here in Texas. You know, Rick Perry is about as un-American as you can get. And then you look at the other GOP candidates. And by the way, Barack Obama is not exactly a patriot either. We can all see what he's done, especially with the NDAA thing and other recent stuff where his loyalties lie. Besides, when he first got into office, most of his cabinet was all pure Wall Street anyway. But you look at the GOP candidates too. Michelle Bachmann was a former tax attorney. Herman Cain was a former Federal Reserve – worked at the Federal Reserve, frankly. I mean, please, come on. And then you look at other people. Frankly, if you had to make a decision technically, arguably Ron Paul would be the best one. But even then, even if he were elected president, the main problem he's going to face is that he's only one guy. He would still be facing a very hostile Congress and then all the various assorted administrative agencies. You know, all Congress would need to do, even if President Paul were to veto some sort of despotic bill, if I remember correctly, I think it's a two-thirds congressional vote, congressional override. And then, of course, the administrative agencies can run roughshod because, you know, most of the alphabet soup boys are frankly, you know, guys with pieces of paper and guns that just go kicking people's doors and have been since at least the 80s. So, you know, there's only so much of a limit that anybody in the executive branch can do. And I don't really see how voting in someone in the executive branch would really help out our situation. Conversely, look what also happened with the Tea Partiers too. I mean, one of their big claims to fame was, oh, if we kick out all these horrible despotic people in Congress, the legislative branch, that will at least start the process of solving our problems. But then notice that if you actually crunch the numbers down to see how well that particular method would work, it takes way too long. In fact, the conservative number is approximately 30 years. If you had a perfect batting average every congressional election, it would take at least 30 years. And obviously real life doesn't work that way, because some of your guys are going to get, that's just, getting down to probability at that point. So, it takes too long with Congress. The executive branch is not going to work by itself. There's all these kind of problems with trying to look at at what the federal government's doing. And then, of course, there's everything happening at the state level, the 50 different states. Some of them are capitulating to the feds, usually through power of the purse or through other means. And then other ones are kind of trying to kind of go their own way. Whether you want to call that secessionist or not is really irrelevant. But they're kind of, stepping back. And, actually, for some of them, especially out west, if you actually go to some of the organized militia, that actually whose chain of authority goes to the governor, they're actually training right now, actually even more so than they used to be, because they know, especially, again, look at the economic situation too. I mean, you basically had all these high finance interests that were bailed out. And yeah, the Occupy Wall Street people and Occupy whatever in general do have some legitimate concerns about that. But then their fallacy goes to, oh, we're going to go ask the government for more regulations on various high finance, Wall Street-ish type people, and that's going to solve everything. But then the Tea Partiers were technically correct that Congress is the problem, but then their solution was wrong. So something that you can see here, regardless of people's political orientation, is that kind of on the news and analysis side of things, it generally tends to be correct for the most part. Okay, some details are a little off, but mostly pretty accurate for the most part. But then you get to the problem-solving side of it, and that's where everything kind of falls apart. And then later, after everything has cooled off a little bit, people wonder, even the mainline public wonders, why nothing gets done. And the reason nothing gets done is because there's no good solutions and there's a lack of an organizing apparatus.
The problem with this whole thing is exactly what you said. You got so many splinter groups out there, so many different people deciding to do this or deciding to do that, that it's never going to happen. You're talking about a 30 years down the road. You're talking about never happening. We've got two things that have got to happen to make the big change. One, there has to be an emergency. The United States of America has this tendency to come together in a case of an emergency. We're having that emergency. We're about to be bankrupt. We're about to have no money. Something has got to change. In my opinion, the one person who has the experience and the knowledge and the ability to do any of that happens to be Newt Gingrich. He's been there. He's done that. He's already proven what he can do and what he can't do, and he's actually done it in the past. So he is the one person with the experience and the ability to go in and do something about it. He's the one person I would be willing to trust at least enough to accomplish something. And you're talking about taking so long to come out with an answer, with a solution. He is the best bet, because you've got to start somewhere from the inside. You can't have all these little militia groups or all these little occupy this groups and occupy something else. You can't have all these small groups. They're all fighting against each other. They're not fighting with each other. It's got to happen from within, and that's the only way it can. So that's why I still push the idea of it being a Newt Gingrich election.
Well, while I will say in Newt's defense that he at least was one of the people that promulgated the very real threat of electromagnetic pulse weapons, but unfortunately he and everyone else failed to mention that how you deal with that is with a Faraday cage, which disperses the electricity and other types of energy and whatnot. I have to say that even if you like the Gingrich, I don't think, even if he were president, how he would be able to do anything with Congress, at least in terms of solving not just the economic situation, but I mean really much of anything. I mean, is Newt Gingrich really going to dismantle the police state? I mean, that would even be very hard for Ron Paul to do, or for anyone else for that matter, even if they wanted to. See, that's the problem. I mean, I don't see any of them really tackling any of these really complex social problems. I mean, Have you ever noticed, like, the police just, you know, going, you know, doing traffic stops and grabbing people out of their, that's been caught on footage, you know,
well,
on tape, that's grabbing people out of their cars and beating them for no reason?
The
I mean,
point
that's a big deal.
The point that I was making is the fact that we've got to start somewhere, and the Occupy Wall Street or any of these other things are not the place to start because they're all in different places. You've got to start somewhere within. And the thing that I was saying is the only way we're going to actually accomplish anything really, really of importance is an emergency. And we're going to start – we are, in fact, facing that emergency. We are running out of money. We're running out of ability. We can't keep printing money out of thin air forever. Things have got to change, and it's about to happen fairly quickly. So we need to put somebody in office that can handle it, that can understand it, and that can do something about it, and he's the only one that can.
Well, that may be possible, but also consider something else too, which was, and I posted this in the chat room too, which was a, I'm a blogger, and something that I posted was about the left-right paradigm, what it is and different aspects of it. And if you think about it, it's not just limited to political parties, such as the Democrats and the Republicans. It's also noticeable with political ideologies, typically conservatives and liberals. And if you notice throughout time, they always have kind of the same litany of talking points, but then they take different flavors. So in one sense, they tend to agree on important issues, which are seldom, if ever, discussed publicly, yet they disagree on the minor ones, which are mentioned front and center on the public stage. So for instance, they'll be kind of like a society of the spectacle type apparatus where they talk about such things like public education or campaign finance or gay marriage. But then they don't – they kind of start coalescing somewhat around like foreign policy, anything concerning the surveillance police state apparatus, as well as the viability of central banking. Now, to their credit, some mainline conservatives have at least – kind of joined with all the other political dissidents, at least in a minor way, saying about what's the deal with this Federal Reserve thing and how that kind of plays in with the federal income tax and taxes in general. How does that work? So kudos to them for at least kind of expanding and slowly getting their way out of the paradigm. But you see, that's kind of the issue too. I mean, nobody's really mentioning about really, like, if you want to take the environmental thing, for example, certain people are – I even remember Newt Gingrich – as well as other people saying that, oh, yes, they're left, we're right, but we both agree about climate change. And, you know, climate, the viability of climate change aside, there's technically more pressing environmental problems like, I don't know, genetic engineering. I mean, just look at the bisphenol A that they put in food packaging and other types of chemicals they put in the water supply and other things, you know, that affects people's DNA. I mean, this is all – I mean, various scientists have gone over this, you know. That's what I'm kind of getting at, though, is that – notice the kind of the obfuscation on issues. People focus on something like gay marriage, which is a perfect example, but they won't focus on, you know, ending the wars or on abolishing the Federal Reserve or something like that. You know, there's very much picking what topics to focus on and which ones not to. And to be honest, I think Ron Paul's people were wrong about going after Gingrich's past. And regardless of whether it's true or not, that's not really the point. The point is, it's really best to stick to whatever your, I guess you could say, platform is, and don't go after other people. You know, let bloggers, let investigative reporters, let people, and I would say especially alternative media, let them do that. Let them criticize and kind of bring that to light. But if you're a statesman, not a politician, but if you are a proper statesman, you stick to your platform and say, okay, here's my litany of stuff and all that. And for the most part, they've done the Paul campaign has done the right thing. But them going after Newt Gingrich was not good because it made them look bad, and then they got kind of dragged down all that minutia.
You've hit about 100 different things here, and not really stuck on anything. Where do we start?
Well, I mean, if you want, the first thing to start with is, I would say, organize with people locally wherever you are. Start with your neighbors and try and form. And if you try and find enough like-minded people. I would say, I mean, there's many different things you can try and do. I mean, if you want me to rattle off a list, you can either form a book club and use that as a vetting mechanism.
No. I don't want a list. I want to know where we start. What do we do first? And starting with my neighbors, you're back to your 50-year time frame there. Where do we start if we want to get something done now?
Okay. Well, in that case, I would basically say you need to get local alternative currencies up. There is at least 15 different local currencies here in the United States, and actually they've been growing. There's several in New Hampshire. There are the Detroit Shares in Detroit, Michigan, Berkshires in Massachusetts, Ithaca Hours in Ithaca, New York, and several other places around the country. So if you can organize your local community, and say, and also you need to get the businesses, local businesses, not the corporate chains that couldn't care anything about you and your family. I'm talking about the local businesses, the actual real capitalists. See if you can persuade them enough. And you're going to have to understand a good amount of economics, too. But try to get those local alternative currencies set up. Also study what happened to Von Nuthaus and try to avoid the problems that he ran into, because we got to get around these problems. We got to get around the Federal Reserve and at least start springing up currencies that can at least start competing with Federal Reserve notes. Because the Federal Reserve is a grip on this country, and so that's what you need to do.
If everybody comes up with their own currency, how does that accomplish anything?
Well, it accomplishes many things, and I know you're kind of short on time, but suffice it to say, there needs to be competing currencies with the Federal Reserve notes.
Why?
Because the Federal Reserve has a stranglehold on the country as a whole. So, even if it doesn't necessarily work out in the long term, at least short term, it'll at least get your foot in the door so then other options can start spring up, especially those that are economic. I mean, for example, people have already had that kind of inclination when they're buying precious metals like gold and silver and whatnot. So let's take that the next step and actually, instead of everyone just kind of holing up and bunkering in their homes, let's kind of get that a little bit more broad and kind of go balls up and say, look, you know, other people have been setting up their own alternative currencies because we know about the Federal Reserve has trashed the value of the dollar at least 95% since 1913. With various type of things, this whole boom and bust cycle is all completely artificial anyway. The Austrian school and even to a certain degree the Chicago School of Economics has mentioned this several times. So once we kind of get ourselves out from under this kind of more economic tyranny of sorts, where we don't have to deal with the high finance interests who also basically own Congress as well as other types of special interests as well, then we can start securing our liberties in a big, big way. But until people organize, until that happens, all of this is moot. It's not going to be voting at the ballot box that's going to count. It's voting with your wallet that is what's going to count. And also, for the guys who are a little bit, or especially veterans and other people, look where ammunition's going. I mean, that stuff's been skyrocketing in price as well as availability. I mean, people are really kind of getting concerned. But I would say even more important than the ammunition is look where the precious metals are going. I mean, look at the value of gold.
Okay, you really
recently on Lars Larson's show, like I said, he has important guests on from time to time, and with the last November election, which sent a message, quote unquote, to our governed people, so to speak, and he brought that point up to his guest, and his guest basically says, well, what message was that, Lars? So, you know, people are trying to send a message, and like I say, during the election time is really the only time we're important to our government. But how do we send the message to them that will make them make it stick? Anybody can take that.
Well, of course, I don't know how else to say this. I mean, voting hasn't saved anyone. All it's done is perpetuate the two-winged one-party system, which is what it is. They may make a kind of WWF kind of wrestling facade where they get on the floor of the Senate or the House of Representatives and like, I object to so-and-so doing this minor thing aspect on this minor bill. But then they all vote the same way. I mean, both parties voted for the bailouts. Both parties voted for the Patriot Act. Both parties voted and passed legislation for the recent NDAA thing, which now is kind of escalating the police state apparatus. I mean, every single thing they've done, whether it's on the political side or technically more on the economic sphere of things, it's all more and more state intervention into every one of our lives. I mean, you can't even get a permit for walking on the street. You can't even walk on the street without getting a permit almost.
Unfortunately, I understand what you're saying, and you're making my point. We need to go in there and change who that is that's voting. We need to change who the Republicans and the Democrats are. Putting in having everybody print their own money is not even possibly close to being an answer to anything. All that does is just spread everything out and make everybody more confused. You haven't come up with an answer or a solution. You've come up with a lot of ideas, but none of of them really too logical. You've got to start with some place where you have an impact, and the one place to have an impact is we're not voting this election for just a president. We're voting for a president and a Congress at the same time. We're voting for 536 people, not just one. And so consequently, that's where we change things. You don't go out and start printing money. That isn't going to accomplish anything except just destroying everybody's economy and doing nothing. You don't go out try to change things in your community, because that's fine for your community, but all it does is make your community go to war with the next door neighbor's community. So we've got to do something that starts from the inside, like I said before, and we're in a position at this particular election to do that and to change a whole lot of the people that are not thinking the way we do, or the ones that voted for the bailing out GM or whomever. If we didn't like that, we've got to change who they are, not start printing money someplace. So basically, we are running out of time, so we're going to have to let you go. But I do appreciate your call, and stick with us and come back again sometime.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. And also, people should check out committee.org for more information on committees of safety, which is a possible option for organizing their local communities. And thank you again for having me on.
Committee.org?
Yeah, committee.org. So that's another option, by the way, is committees of safety, just like what the colonists in the late 18th century did against the British Empire. That's another possible option.
Great.
I just don't – yeah, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Okay, basically, it's good to have these people coming in here with differing opinions. I didn't quite understand, in this case, his opinions, but that's okay. You have something to say?
Great call. So,
yeah.
Great call today, and definitely appreciate that. Appreciate the input, and hope you guys will give us a call back again in the future. And but yeah, he brought up a lot of really good points. But like you say, you know, what can you do, and what will get the message to them? You know, to get that little country club taken care of. And I still think, and I think Cliff's on the same page with me, that the 28th Amendment might be a good start.
Well, that would be. I'd love to see something done with that. I definitely would. But I think we're running up against the period where we're going to change things. You know, technically speaking, he is right in a way, in that it is economic. It is the money problem, and the money problem is going to suddenly thrust itself in the forefront, because, as I say, we're broke. We're running out of money, and we can't continue to print money out of thin air forever. And so, consequently, we're going to be running out of money. We've got to change what's going on, but we've got to change it up at the top. Changing it at the bottom is, like you said, 30 to 50 years down the road. We don't have that time. We're going to go out of business as a country before then. But the thing that changes that whole spectrum a little bit is it's not just us. It's the whole world that's in the same position. And the whole world is
wanting
not...
to go along with that. Wanting to go along with that is that tree that I referred to, us, the taxpayers. We're running out of money, too. The tree is going bare, and by charging new fees, like you were talking, I think, off the air about a new bridge, or one, the bridge in Washington starting to charge tolls, and Verizon and everybody else trying to take more money from us, we just don't have it. I'm sorry.
Well, that's because they're running out of money, too, though. Everybody's running out of money. That's why there has to be some major changes in what's going on. Like I said, he mentioned the fact that the real estate, the prices of things have gone down. We've lost money in how much our real estate is worth. It's going to have to go down even more, and it's going to have to stay there. And that's what's going to trigger all of this, is all of this economic upheaval. And it's going to be a very rough time, I think, in the next couple of years in our country. Either that, or it's all going to smooth itself up. But I think we're looking for some hard times ahead. Anyway, we're out of time. Appreciate it.
We are. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for calling. Again, we'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can call the show on Twitter and Facebook, and send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll catch you again next week.
Be sure and come back again next week and call us if you have think we're way off base, and we may be.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.